Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Oh, yeah.
Featuring Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky.
And well, I'm about that action, boss.
Take him out! This is the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, my God.
Is it an old baby or a yawn baby? This is why I say yawn. Boy, I was having trouble getting out of bed this morning. Holiday weekend. Back to reality. Alarm clock goes off at around 4:30, and I'm like, damn. Back to work. Back to work we go.
Uh-huh.
Like everybody else getting off their graveyard shifts or getting ready for work, or they're at work already. You know how I'm feeling right now. Nice guy, Stephen Langford. How are you feeling? Are you feeling like me, or are you feeling depressed over the Giants or the KD rumors? Which one is it?
I ended up getting like zero sleep, not this previous night, but the night prior to that. So on Sunday night, I didn't get much. So I fell asleep by like 8:30 last night.
Oh, you're good to go.
I was all good. So I woke up this morning. I was fine. So that's number one. So I'm feeling okay there. The Kevin Durant to the Warriors and, you know, all those rumors gaining steam. I don't personally think it's going to happen, but none of that stuff, just looking at the day yesterday, the 4th of July, not to bring it down just to start the show, but, you know, it's just, it's hard to celebrate this country right now. And with everything that happened in Chicago and then following that up with Philadelphia at night, I mean, that's really what has me kind of coming in this morning, like, just not feeling good about where we're at as a country. So everything that's happening in sports right now, it may be the Giants and what they did, getting swept by the White Sox and then losing to the terrible Diamondbacks team. Like, all that stuff, it's kind of just ancillary in my mind right now. But overall, I'd say the thing that's making me most frustrated, though, is the Giants. Yes, in terms of sports, the Giants are just, I don't know where they go, man. I don't know what direction they're headed in. It just feels like they're in limbo right now.
You know, you bring up what happened in Chicago and Philadelphia, and our condolences go out to everybody who was hurt.
Yeah.
To the families affected. Speaking about the 4th of July, it's 1776, the day America declared for independence and became free. 1776, slaves were still active.
Mm-hmm.
There were still slave owners. So for me personally, the 4th of July is always, I've had some mixed feelings about it.
Yeah.
And then yesterday was just a day off to go see family, go see friends.
For sure.
Because of what's happening in this country, Uvalde, Texas, not too long ago, about the young poor man shot by the cops, 60 bullets. He's running away from the cops, and they just let loose on him.
In Akron,
You didn't need to shoot him 60 times. 60 freaking times. So what's going on in this country with the abortion laws, with everything that's happening? I understand where you're at.
Yeah.
I understand where you're at.
Yeah, so like you know, everything that happened in sports over the weekend, like it's kind of the escape right now because you know that's what we're gonna try and provide today. We're not gonna spend, you know, 3 hours talking about everything that's wrong in the world right now, but we are gonna try and intrigue you with some of this sports stuff because I think the most surprising thing though was Kevin Durant to the Warriors.
Well,
possibility like Mark Spears. What was he on? Was he on ESPN Radio?
ESPN Radio. Radio. And look, the Kevin Durant stuff is not going to happen. been texting with some folks.
Mm.
It's probably not going to happen. And I don't think the Warriors will want to do that. Think about all the camaraderie and cohesion and the chemistry they've built with this roster. This has been a fun team because they're a family. And that was the thing that, you know, a lot of people were saying about Gary Payton II. It's not so much the impact he's having on the court, but he was family. So, with all the things that you would have to do to trade for Kevin Durant, we are talking about Kevin freaking Durant, all right? Kevin Durant's an all-time great, 33 years old. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the 15 best players I've ever seen in my life in the NBA. But you would have to trade probably Poole. You may have to throw in Wiggins.
Oh, yeah.
You may have to throw in Kuminga. You may have to throw in Wiseman. You may have to throw in multiple picks. And it would contradict everything that the Warriors have said leading up to this point. We want to develop, and we want to have a bridge for the afterlife of Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson. Once they move on, we want to have some guys ready to go.
Yes.
And they were able to do that. They've been able to do that. And you would contradict yourself by giving all that away
right.
for Kevin Durant. And honestly, as much as I love Kevin Durant, the basketball player, I don't want to see it. I want to see Poole. I want to see Wiggins. How much fun was that to see Poole ascend and become a third-year pro and really become a valuable member of a championship team?
It was one of the great storylines of the season. We were talking about storylines and narratives, whatever, prior to the NBA Finals, comparing the Warriors to the Celtics, and you go up and down the list. Jordan Poole was absolutely one of them. But let's get this out of the way, because you said a specific set of words. And that was something that came along in a Marcus Thompson report from The Athletic, because he had a source that, you know, said the Warriors are unlikely to trade him. He followed that up with an article. Mm-hmm. But he also said, well, there's one source who said it's freaking Kevin Durant.
Right.
And let's just clear this up now. That's the reason why Kevin Durant is able to do what he's doing right now, because I felt like I saw a lot of questions over the weekend and have seen some talking points where it's, well, what gives KD the right to do anything like this? Like, why would the Nets acquiesce to this request of Kevin Durant? Shout out to Pirates of the Caribbean for that saying. But why would they do that? Because it's Kevin Durant. He says that he wants to request a trade and he wants to get out of the situation that he's in. Teams would be willing to throw whatever they need to do in order to get Kevin Durant. That's why as we talked about it on Friday and going into this weekend, I really think Pat Riley is going to be that guy who wants to do that and is willing to give up whatever it would take in order to get KD. But let's just clear that up now. The reason that he's able to do this is because it's freaking Kevin Durant.
It's Kevin Durant.
And other teams would be willing to make an offer to where the Nets would look at that and think, I mean, like, of course the Nets were to put their foot down and say, no, KD, you're not going out of here. What, you want to just set our franchise back 10 years again? Like, that's what you really want to do? But
look,
you get an offer where you're like, ooh.
What if Utah gives you Donovan Mitchell, Jordan Clarkson, a slew of picks?
Mm-hmm.
I'll send KD's ass to Salt Lake City. I don't give a damn.
Yeah.
I don't give a Kyrie Irving. I'll send you to Orlando. I don't care. You hijack my franchise. I have a business to run. I'm not trying to be irrelevant in the NBA playing in Brooklyn, New York. Are you kidding me? I send their asses wherever I can get the best package. If I'm Sean Marks, the general manager of the Brooklyn Nets, I'm getting the best package.
Mm-hmm.
That's Oklahoma City. Hey, KD, go have fun. Hope you didn't sell your house in Oklahoma City, because you're going back there for some of these picks and some of these assets they have. So, look, man, where the Warriors are at right now, I think they're in a great, great spot. It was weird, and we'll dive deeper into the KD stuff and what happened over the weekend. I don't think it's happening. I see when we were walking in to the studio today, Dante DiVincenzo, two-year deal for Villanova, a guy who I've always liked. I thought he'd be better than Brunson, have more of an impact than Jalen Brunson, but he's a nice, solid player. But we'll get to the KD stuff, because you mentioned something right off the top. As we say good morning to everybody on YouTube, Twitch, the Infinity Mobile Text Line. Hopefully you had a great three-day weekend, four-day weekend, whatever it was. It's good to be back here at 95.7 The Game. You said you were most disappointed in the San Francisco Giants. And I know Willard is up, Mark Willard, that is. Ever since we had that explosive crosstalk, where it's like, Bonte, they're 9 games above .500. What else do you want? Well, I believe the Giants now are 2-7 since that. No, wait. They lost 2 to the Braves.
Uh-huh.
They lost 6 on that homestead. They're 2-9 since that conversation.
Yes.
They're 2-9 in the 2 games out of the playoffs. In Langford, I went to the game Friday night, and I went Sunday afternoon.
How was it?
Friday, we stayed for the whole game. Fireworks night at Oracle Park.
Mm-hmm.
They scored 0. The Giants lost 1-0. They scored 0 and had 3 hits.
So there were 0 fireworks during the game.
Figurative fireworks. 0 fireworks during the game. 3 hits, all right? Mm. Go back with my lady Sunday. We left early. We left after the 17-inning stretch. They scored 1 run up to that point. So I saw 17 innings of baseball
and
1 run.
Yeah.
1 run. And they got swept by the White Sox.
It's just sad. Like, I don't know where to even begin with this team. And then all of it coming at the heels of this loss with the Diamondbacks yesterday, where it's like Gabe Kapler and Carlos Rodon are calling out the team and saying, you know, we understand that we're slumping right now, but at the same time, there's no energy. And it's too reminiscent for me, Bonte. And this was like, this was one of the saddest years of baseball for me as a Giants fan, mm-hmm. was back in 2019 when they're really just looked like there was no direction with this team. You were just waiting for the contracts to be done, and there was no energy. There was nobody trying to pick them up. They didn't have a Ramon Laureano like the A's did at one point going in their dugout saying, hey, mother effers, we got to pick this thing up. It just looked like they were bored of playing baseball. It's just it was all just nonchalant. Yeah, jog out. All right, cool. We're going to play some crappy defense. And you know what? All right, let's try and get through the inning here. All right, 3 outs are done. All right, let's go. Let's go back into the dugout. Cool. All right, we got 3 batters up. Is any one of us getting pinch hit for? Just because we've had 2 at-bats in this game, it looks like it's time for that because there's a lefty or a righty coming in, depending on whatever player you're talking about. But I keep going back, Bonte, and I don't think I'm ever going to get over this. It's not even this weekend with the White Sox and, you know, losing the Diamondbacks yesterday. I'm going to keep going back to the Tigers game, to the second game of that series. I keep on going back to, I can't get it out of my head. When thinking about the Giants and who they are this season, I'm just thinking about that second game where in the sixth inning they pinch hit Austin Slater for Jock Peterson just because a lefty had come in.
Wow.
Then in the following inning, they go on a little rally, turn it into a 3-2 game, and then with the bases loaded and 2 outs, what do you know? Austin Slater is up to bat, and he's going up against a righty where you could have used Jock Peterson instead, and they just get out of it. The Tigers do, and, you know, Austin Slater strikes out. That's the game I keep going back to. I can't stop thinking about it because they keep on making these moves, and they're just overthinking everything. And now the lineup just looks like it's dead.
Let me just say the lineup is not only dead, looks depressing.
Yes.
Their lineup, the Oakland A's may have a better lineup than the Giants.
Woo.
Jock Peterson is the only one worth the damn to go watch hit. Brandon Belt looks shot. Brandon Belt looks absolutely shot. He looks done for 2022, which is why it's July 5th, and this team is 2 games out of the playoff. Last wild card spot. Mm-hmm. St. Louis currently holds it. And right now, they're not a better team than St. Louis. St. Louis won 2 series against the Giants this year anyway. St. Louis Cardinals are a better baseball team, a better baseball club than the San Francisco Giants. Tell her right now, we're getting very, very close to talking about the Giants selling. And one of the guys that could be selling is Carlos Rodon, who got lit up yesterday in 5 innings. And now he's 7-5. And now the ERA is going back up. And now it's at 2.87. Who else have you got? Brandon Belt looks terrible. All right, he's pitch hitting. Brandon Belt's now batting 211 on the season. Now, I know the knee's messed up and he's got some injury issues, but you had to factor that into the equation once you brought him back. Brandon Belt always gets hurt. That's what he does. This is who Brandon Belt is.
Yep.
That's why everybody's like, oh, the Belt wars are over. This is who Brandon Belt is. This is why people like me and Shasky, we get our Brandon Belt all the time because he can't stay on the field. So now you don't have your anchor. Mike Gesicki's struggling. You got Austin Slater bat leadoff yesterday in Arizona. Liguria's, he doesn't look good. Lamont Wade Jr. slotted the blocks. I mean, this is not a good baseball team. And when you look at the lineup on paper, I'm thinking to myself, sell whatever you can to build for the future. Sell whatever you can. That's where I'm at this morning with this team. Maybe I need to pump the brakes a little bit. But 2-9 since Willard and I had that conversation, Langford, and they played some of the worst baseball. It's errors every single day. Yesterday was two errors. The day before is terrible defense.
It's not even just the errors, though. It's the other plays. Like, you know, I understand what Jock's been doing in the batter's box, and that's why he's going to be the Giants' representative in the All-Star game this year, maybe alongside Carlos Rodon. Who knows? But
maybe Logan Webb.
I don't know. There are two specific types of plays that I grow more and more frustrated with this team. Number one is when it's a fly ball to left field, but Jock Peterson does not get a jump on the ball, and he takes a bad first step, and then you just see him chasing after a fly ball that could have been caught. That's number one. And number two, we saw this with Rodon yesterday, but the trouble that they've had with the, what is it, the 3-1 situation with the first baseman trying to make a play to the pitcher when the first baseman has to go off the bag and the pitcher has to cover.
Rodon's hesitating yesterday trying to get to first base.
Exactly. It's just like those two specific types of plays. I felt like I saw that a ton this weekend. And that's really what gets me is the defense, too. Like, the defense just looks totally different compared to what it was last year. I mean, offensively, they didn't put runs up on the board this weekend, but they haven't really struggled to do that too much this year. Mm-hmm. They've actually been okay with putting runs on the board. But defensively, they have just been going downhill ever since the start of the year.
So, no energy in the clubhouse. Why is that? Well, guys are getting hurt and you're losing games. But also, maybe there's something with Kapler here. Maybe there's something with Kapler.
You got to wonder.
You got to wonder. Is the team listening to Kapler? Is his message falling on deaf ears? Why is there a lack of energy when you have one of the most energetic managers in all of baseball? Kapler's Mr. Energy. Kai Correa, who we love on the Morning Roast, is energy. That's all they talk about. Game up. Energy. Energy. Game up.
Game up.
Kapler, game up. Workouts, game up. Energy, 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 effort. Why is there a lack of energy with the Giants? Why? Why? This is a team coming off a 107-win season. A couple weeks ago, they sweep the Dodgers. They lose 3-4 to the Braves, but really, they could have won that series 3-4. Or, 3-1 in that four-game set. Why is there a lack of energy? Is losing, is that why? They're 48-38 now. Two games over 500. Mm-hmm. And they don't even look like that. They don't even look like a 500 team, Lakeford.
Yeah.
They look pathetic.
Nah, anyone I've talked to who just hasn't really paid attention to the Giants too much this year, and you know, they would send me a text and be like, oh, how, you know, just in passing as we're in conversation.
Right.
Oh, how are your Giants doing this year? And they stink. Then they'd look at the standings and they say, oh, well, they're a few games over 500. They can't be that bad. And in this case, it just does not feel like the Bill Parcells you are, what your record says you are. It does not feel like that in that situation. When it comes to the low energy, I don't know if that starts with Kapler, but with Buster Posey being gone and having retired, they don't have that leader. Like, Brandon Belt, even though he wore the C on his chest, and you know how I was on opening day. I was there, and, you know, I got a kick out of seeing him on the boat. But at the same time,
it was laughable.
Of course. And you know, we had differing opinions on that. And that's totally fine. But Brandon Belt does not provide that leadership unless you have someone else there. He can't be that number one guy. Brandon Crawford, you know, when he's healthy, he doesn't normally say too much. Mm-hmm. Wilmer Flores, Darren Ruff, like Evan Longoria, Lamont Wade. Like, looking at the lineup yesterday, who do you expect to be that guy who is going to, you know, rile up the team? The only guy would have been the dude who's on the broadcast yesterday, and that's Hunter Pence, who was alongside Dave Fleming.
Wow.
Like, you don't have that sort of dude who's going to give them that pump, that pep talk in the locker room. They don't have that guy.
Well, that's problematic.
They don't have that guy, pal. Trust me.
That's problematic.
They don't have that guy.
That was problematic. That's problematic. Well, you don't have that guy.
Mm.
You don't have that guy coming off this league. Like, and here's the other thing, Layford. I'm watching this baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, yes, Sunday, I go to the day game where they score one run, like I just mentioned. 17 innings, one run, and Giants scored. 17 innings of baseball. Thanks, Giants. But I'm there on a Sunday afternoon. And usually Oracle Park has a buzz on a Sunday afternoon. It's packed. People are happy. It's Sunday baseball. You're trying to prevent a sweep. I got to say, Sunday afternoon may have been one of the deadest Sunday afternoon baseball games I've ever attended at Oracle Park.
Mm.
There was no buzz. There's nothing to cheer about. And I go back to Bagley's article, Andrew Bagley, The Athletic, where he said, the in-game entertainment is outdated. It really is.
Yeah.
I sat through 17 innings of baseball, and when I look at Chase Center, right? And you can't tell me that, hey, the music they play at Chase Center doesn't resonate with the fans who attend baseball games at Oracle Park. Because I see all types of folks at Chase Center. White, black, Asian, doesn't matter.
Right.
They're rocking and rolling at Chase Center. It is a party. It was a party. Like it was in the 2000s at Oracle Park when you had Barry Bonds and then later on Tim Lincecum. It was a party. You go to Oracle Park and the in-game entertainment, Lakeford, oh my gosh. I'm back in 2005. There's nothing to get jacked up. So it's not just the players on the field. It's the walk-up music that we were talking about.
Right.
It's the bullpen guys coming out on the mound. The reliever said, I need my walk-up. I need my music blaring. Instead, we're doing all these gimmicks. And if I see one more guy propose to his girlfriend at a sporting event, I'm going to lose my mind.
How many times do you see that? Or did you see that in both games that you went to?
Both games.
Oof.
Both games. Like, let's just stop. Like, the in-game entertainment. So you couple that with the product on the field. And I'm telling you, Langford, I'm telling you, they need some freaking stars in a hurry. It has to happen within the next year or two. If not, they're going to lose more fans. They're going to lose more of this fan base. And now the crowds are going to be going from 30,000 to 25 to 20. And next thing you know, you're going to get under 20 here in the city of San Francisco.
This is like one of the first real tests for this fan base, to be honest with you. Like, as far as them being in, you know, when it was originally Pac Bell Park and leading up to now that it's being Oracle Park. But when it was Pac Bell Park, they had the allure of Barry Bonds. Oh, man, Barry Bonds, one of the greatest players that we've ever seen. People would come to the park just to watch that dude. And then when he was gone after 2007, you did have a little lull in 2008 where it was pretty ugly, but you had some guys who were up and coming. And then you go fast forward to 2009. Right. That's when Lincecum really started becoming the ace. He was a guy that you could watch. And then you go to 2010, and then that's when the championship started, leading all the way up to then. And then you had that period between 2016 and 2020, where it's just, all right, well, they've given these big contracts to these players, and they're not living up to it. That's when you saw the attendance slowly start to decline. That's when you start to saw, even though they had the sellouts or whatever, but you'd still see empty seats over there. And now, you don't really have anything that you can hang your hat on. I mean, the guy that, you know, I thought was going to be the one who brings you to the park, and we had this conversation before the season. I was like, Joey Bart is that guy. I thought he was going to be that guy. Ooh. Turns out that he's not. Maybe he could get another chance, as I believe Kurt Casale is heading to the IL, or
banged up.
Yeah, there's something about his oblique. I believe he's on his way to the IL, so that's why Joey Bart's name is being brought up again. I don't know. There's just so much wrong, but this is a real test for the fan base and having to show up, because if you're showing up there, you purely have to love watching baseball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's all you're going to get. You're not going to get anything extra.
It was watching Tony La Russa and the White Sox sweep the Giants.
Yep.
Tony La Russa and the White Sox sweeping the Giants. They go 2-6.
Mm.
2-6 on that 8-game homestand to the Reds, Tigers, and White Sox. Reds, Tigers, White Sox. And you go 2-6 on the 8-game homestand. Then you go down to Arizona and take out the Diamondbacks for the first time this season, and you blow a game on the 4th of July. So the Giants, not so good. We'll play some sound on the other side. Mm-hmm. As the segment was brought to you by Go to St. Lumber, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. What's also coming up on the game, 888-957-9570. Any Warrior fans interested in KD? Kevin Durant, can he win you back over?
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That's coming up to you, bro. That's coming up on the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, Full Service Banking, No Compromises.
This is Clay Thompson, and you are listening to The Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
Spadoni's on the board. Good morning to him. Lovin's back off of vacation. Shasky, though, he's still on vacation, although he's tweeting like a madman during the Diamondbacks-Giants game. I mean, literally giant. Here it is, 4:02 p.m. High school bump play, grammar school execution defensively by SFG. Unreal. No all caps, though.
No all caps.
No all caps.
The thing that I do respect about Chasky on Twitter, though, is, and this is, I think, an issue with like a lot of different people, is the way that they tweet, you know, is not what they'd say in real life. And that's an issue that I have, and I think that's the definition purely of Twitter fingers. Yeah. It's just something like, you know, they'd have these all caps right. tweets, but it's like, I've never heard you have any sort of emotion in your voice ever when you're talking. So you're really going to go all caps. But Chasky, when he tweets in all caps, I know that he's talking in all caps.
Well,
he's living up to that tweet, unlike a lot of people there on that social media
play.
Entity.
Shortstop has to go to third there.
Love it.
7 exclamation points. Carlos Ramirez replies to him. He's in double play depth there. That's not on Walt. He's supposed to go to second and VR to first. It was a heads-up play by the Diamondbacks, a mistake by Flores. The second he drops a button, he crashes to third base regardless of original positioning. Completely disagree. Fundamentals 101. Oh, wow. He dropped that on Carlos.
He dropped the fundamentals 101.
We'll break it down on post game, but I'm asking Rich Aurelia, and he's with me. It's not automatic. Depends on the play and the butt. In this case, it's more on Flores. I immediately said they were stretching this first to third. It was so obvious and brilliant, it caught them completely off guard. Had he showed, bud, I may disagree, but you got to be aware of that. Wow. It's basic high school play. So he's just losing his mind on the Arizona Diamondbacks Giants game.
Yeah, yeah.
Tweeting nonstop on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Out of all the things to do, tweeting about that game last night was probably number 52 on my list of things to do. Seriously, I was not going to tweet about the Giants Diamondbacks game on a Monday after seeing them crap the bed over the weekend against the Chicago White Sox. Tony La Russa all of a sudden is not on the hot seat. Figure that. Well, maybe.
You never know with Tony La Russa. He should be on the hot seat regardless of what their record is. That team's a damn good baseball team. They need something else as a manager.
Well, here's Carlos Rodon, who got the loss and dropped to 7-5, and the Giants are going to have to make a decision on him. He has a player option for next year for $22 million. He's going to want a long-term deal. What do the Giants do with Rodon? Also, what needs to change in the Giants? What needs to change, Carlos?
I think something needs to change. I think we're playing really bad baseball. You can say as much as you want, you know, until we physically do something and make a change. I don't think we're going to see any results.
What needs to change?
I don't know, man. I just play with a little more fire.
We're out of answers. We don't know.
Can you imagine being in his shoes and not pitching over the weekend, at least against the White Sox, and looking at your former team?
Sweep you.
And just seeing how stacked they are as far as the lineup goes and, you know, the young, exciting talent that they have on that team. It's just, it's a matter of time before they do pick it up. I don't know if they're going to have that type of year where it's just, okay, it's totally done. Mm-hmm. We need a full rebuild. I don't think they're going to head to that anytime soon. They've had some problems with injuries and whatever, but the White Sox, just looking at him, he's got to be like, man, that team that I was on, that was an exciting young team. They had a direction. And right now, like that statement right there, him saying that does not make me feel any better about him possibly accepting that player option that he has on the second year of his deal. Because he has that on his deal.
Opted out of that.
He has that player option in the second year, correct?
Yeah, second year. So, 2 year deal. He's not opting into that. He's opting out to go try to get a Gausman-like deal.
Yes.
That's exactly what's going to go down.
Yeah.
And when you look at this club, what would you say? Would you say, look at this, the stats up on MLB Network right now. Rodon and Webb combined 14-8. ERA, Logan Webb 3.13, Rodon 2.87, the rest of the starters 11-13, and the ERA is over 5. So when you go to Cobb, when you go to Wood, DeScafani's out for the season. He's got to have ankle surgery, so that's a bust. That's, you crapped out on that deal.
The one guy that you gave the deal to, well, other than Alex Wood.
Who has 2 years left on the deal.
Yes, the one guy that you gave a deal to, the only guy that you have under contract through 2024 on the 60-day IL again.
It's not good.
Like, come on.
That's what Kapler said. That's what Kapler said about the defense.
Human beings make errors, so that's probably the number one most important factor. Sometimes they come in bunches like they have been. Over a long period of time, I think we have some limitations that are clear. And we just have to keep working and try to correct those as quickly as possible.
Do you think Brandon coming back will make a big difference in that?
I think it has a chance to. He's a solidifying force on the dirt for us, and I think he makes everybody around him better.
On potential defensive adjustments, what adjustments can the Giants make in the infield?
I think we talked about it. Crawford's a pretty good immediate adjustment, and that'll likely start tomorrow. So that helps. Beyond that, I think we just have to keep getting the best out of the players that we have. Every day we're going to work to try to help everybody on this club be the best they can possibly be. That includes our defenders, but also our, you know, having the best possible at bats through game planning and structured practice. And what we have the ability to control, and we're going to stay focused on those things.
They're going to stay focused on those things, mm-hmm. Langford. But I don't think they have the personnel to make the type of adjustments that they could try to be a good team, to be a good defensive team. I don't think they have the personnel.
Defensively, it's just brutal. Like, you have Darren Ruff and Jock Peterson, who are flipping and rotating in left field, not feeling about any really that good about any of those guys there. I mean, in center field, you go with, you know, Austin Slater, that's who was in your starting lineup yesterday, and then you pinch hit Mike Yastrzemski, you put him in there in center field, and then in right field, you got Lamont Wade, who's a good outfielder, but nevertheless, not that great of an outfield. The right. Infield, like, you got Wilmer Flores playing first, and Wilmer Flores always scares me whenever he's playing the infield. I think he needs to be, if he was in a perfect role, he'd be the DH. Like, that's what Wilmer Flores needs to be. He's fantastic in the batter's box.
Right.
He always gets timely hits, but it's in the it's.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On defense, where he really struggles, and then you're going out there with who? We had David Villar yesterday.
David,
we got a taste
Villar.
Of him. Donovan Walton.
I'm seeing too much Walton.
Playing the shortstop.
I'm just look at this lineup.
There's nothing.
Look at it.
There's nothing you could do to fix
and
it.
This is what I'm saying. The 510 Xfinity mobile text line. And this is what I said before the season. With Giants are cheap. They would not have any stars added. I said beginning of the season, Giants overachieved big time last year. Now, if you're not going to spend money, and you're going to run this club like a money ball team, or like you're under strict financial limitations and you're in a small market. This isn't a small market. This is the Bay Area.
Right.
It's okay to spin. But I'm looking at this lineup yesterday. I'm saying, damn, all right, Austin Slater's leading off. Mike Yastrzemski, pinch hit, came in later. Wilmer Flores, who hasn't had a bad year. Darren Ruff. Look at these averages. Slater, 243. Yeah, it's 236. Flores, 242. Ruff, 220. LaGoria, 248. Lamont Wade Jr., who hasn't played much, 220. David Villar, first game, 2-for-4. Mercedes from the White Sox, 2-for-4. They'll probably see some more action moving forward. Kirk Casale, 231. Jesse ain't bad for Kirk Casale. Austin Wins, 227. Jock Peterson, 278. He's been your best hitter, but he doesn't start yesterday because you got a lefty on the mound. I don't care. He's your best hitter. Play Jock. Stop with the numbers. Stop with the lefty stuff. Play Jock. God. Donovan Walton, 158.
Yeah.
Brandon Belt, 211. And Lubman, what's the stat? What is Brandon Belt? How many RBIs does he have? This year was 17. I don't know.
It was 14.
14 RBI?
I believe it was 14, right, Loveman?
I think it was around 13, but either way, there's no way this answer is one that's going to put a smile on any Giants fan's face.
Oh, and I forgot, by the way, when we were talking about the defense of Donovan Walton, Loveman did give me the stat prior to the show. I know he said stop it with the stats, but he gave me the stat. Donnie Walton, leading the team in defensive runs saved. How about that, Bonte?
Please.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He stinks. I want to talk to Flynn about the Giants at 8 o'clock. Last week, Flynn said he believes that they're still a contender. Flynn believes they're still a contender. I don't know about that one. Mm. Tyler Rogers. Look at his ERA now. He gave up 3 hits, 2 runs yesterday. Supposed to hold the game down. It's a 4-3 game. Giants are in it. Well, not anymore. because Tyler Rogers gives up another 2 in the 6 inning.
Yeah.
This team's just not good. Your best hitter is not playing yesterday because, oh, there's a lefty on the mound, Madison Bumgarner. He's got to play.
The 5-1-0 puts here, the Giants are cheap. They will not have any stars added. I said beginning of the season, the Giants overachieved big time last year. And I don't like how the term lucky is thrown around because I don't think you luck your way into 107 wins. Sure, some of it's luck. But I think overachieved might be a good term to use because Brandon Crawford and Brandon Belt, even though Brandon Belt was injured the last month of the season and going into the playoffs, Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford were having career years. Buster Posey had a resurgence. You know, Logan Webb was coming into his own. The rotation was kind of solidified. Like, you know, Anthony DeSclafani, outside of playing the Dodgers, had a sub-2 ERA. He was great. Alex Wood, he started having those issues after he went on the IL last season. Maybe they did overachieve last year. And I remember when the win total, 85, came in, or 85.5, I thought that's exactly where the Giants are going to be. Maybe just over 500.
Well, as Ernie in Concord, our good friend Ernie.
Oh, yeah.
The real question is, what's their bacon?
Oh, man, I'd have to look at their batting average on contact. Yeah, I'd have to look at their bacon.
We don't want to look at their bacon. And
it's LQ, not crispy, that's for sure. It's raw bacon right now.
LQ on YouTube. I'd rather talk about the Summer League. You know what? 5-1-0. Bonte, rather talk Summer League than Gigantes. Might have more recognizable names in those games. It's our Manzucci man. You're not lying.
Whew.
I may rather talk about the California Classic. The damn Giants. Jock Peterson, best hitter on the field. He's bitch for 4th of July because Bumgarner's on the mound. This team sucks right now, and it's frustrating. 2-9 since Willard came in the studio during the changeover. Said, Bonte, what are you complaining about? They're 9 games over 500. Well, now they're 2 games over 500, and it is a sinking ship. This is a sinking ship. It may be time to sell, sell, sell. Segment brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, another California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. You're right, Steve. Steve 650, Giants roster, completely unwatchable. Again, I attended Friday and Sunday, Lutman. 1 run in 17 innings. And over $200 spent on food and beverages. And I got 1 run. Just 1. 1 run. Good Lord, the Giants suck right now.
This is Steve Kerr, and you're listening to the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
What up, Steve? You know, you bring up the Golden State Warriors. I start smiling ear to ear. Good vibes with them. Good vibes. We talk Giants.
Talk Giants or yell Giants?
They tick me off, dude.
You
they
watched really Joey cool. Chestnut yesterday? Hot dog.
Now, this
contest?
Year I missed him. But he did win his 15th straight. I saw he got out the little minivan or whatever. What was he in, a splinter or something? And he had a cast on.
And he had and surgery it, on no. his on his leg or his lower leg or his ankle or something like that. Yeah.
Now, I did see him mid-competition. Scoffing down hot dogs and choke a protester. Him, who's also the announcer? Because he's
George
one of the,
Shea.
George Shea, because he's comedy too. He's one of the founders of that whole hot dog eating contest. And Shea, you see Shea coming out of nowhere and like drag him off the stage and Chestnut chokes him.
Yes,
while eating hot dogs. That was pretty. That was awesome.
Got to be honest, man. The hot dog eating contest. It doesn't feel like they're eating hot dogs. It feels like they're eating the ingredients of hot dogs. I need it to be different. Like, you know, you eat a hot dog, you eat it with the dog and the bun, you know, with mustard or whatever you want to put on it, and you eat it all together. But when you're eating it separately, that doesn't count as a hot dog to me. You're eating a bunch of bread and you're eating a bunch of sausage.
And they're dipping into the water?
They're dipping. Oh, yeah, the water, Gatorade or whatever.
Soften it up or
whatever
whatnot?
Drink they're using, yeah.
Gosh,
but, man, it's
so disgusting.
Yeah, It is. It is. It's an athletic feat, I think, personally, eating in competitions and stuff like that. They do this year round. It's not just the hot dog eating contest, but they're not eating a hot dog. That's the biggest problem I have with it. They're eating the sausage and the bun separately. That's not a hot dog.
If they put relish and mustard and ketchup on, it'd be even more disgusting than it already is.
Well, I'm not saying I'm not saying they need to fit in all the accoutrement and the condiments. I'm not saying any of that. Just eat the hot dog together with the bun and the dog. Do whatever else you want with it in that real time. It's not a hot dog. They're just eating a bun and then a sausage. Doesn't count as
a hot dog hot take right there.
It is a hot dog hot take.
How many hot dogs did he finish with? 63?
63 this year.
That was a low, huh?
That was a low. But then I went back and looked the first time that him and Kobayashi were in a battle for the champion. And I think Kobayashi, the first match they had, Joey Chestnut ate 52, and then Kobayashi ate 53 3/4 or something like that.
So where's Kobayashi got banned, right?
Yeah, because of George Shea.
Yeah, George Shea banned him. I watched 30 for 30 on that.
Yeah.
Kobayashi.
The good, the bad, and the hungry.
Yeah. Kobayashi, we need Kobayashi back.
Agreed.
George Shea, get off your high horse and get Kobayashi back in there. You talk about a guy who's filling himself. Oh, George Shea. George Shea shows so many biases towards Joey Chestnut.
Yes, he loves Joey Chestnut.
Oh, my God. What a jock sniffer. Seriously. Get off Joey Chestnut's you-know-what. Come on, George Shea.
The way that he announces him at the end, too, and he announces his name, it's not just, and Joey Chestnut coming up, it's Joey Chestnut!
He's off his rocker.
That was really good.
He's off his rocker, Spinell. George Shea.
Get off his Joey Chestnuts, am I right?
Well played, sir. Well played.
That's God. A two.
That was a three.
Whatever.
That was a three. Okay. That was
a Tuesday five coming off a holiday.
It's a great radio bit, but we bring it into the regular life at the studio, and I do not like my jokes being rated. I like to rate them myself. Thank you very much. I'll tell you whether it's a two or a three or a four.
Yeah, Dan Dibley.
Well, no, it's not Dibs' fault. I blame Spadoni and Madsen. It's their faults. I blame both of them.
They rate jokes.
Bringing it among the producers. I blame them.
Madsen probably rates tweets, too.
I miss the time when you guys would just give me the silent treatment after I'd say a joke. You didn't even rate me. You just stayed silent and would just go back to doing whatever.
When I do to Shasky like five times a show, right? Or I just don't say anything. Just let it breathe. It's so bad.
It'd be funny because Madsen and Spadoni would be like turned around at their computers or turned around at the board doing work. And then I'd just come in with the one-liner and they just wouldn't even acknowledge it. But they heard it. They just didn't even say anything. But now they rate it every single time. That's a one.
That's a one. I'm rating Shasky's tweets from last night. Actually disappointing. Not enough all caps. You're going to waste your time watching 4th of July baseball. Got to give me something more, Joe Shasky. Got to give me something more.
Yeah. When he told me, you know, prior to going on vacation, you know, I'm going up to the Russian River, going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, I've been up playing golf. I played golf with them up there before. Right. It's a beautiful country out there. But I was like, dude, just take some time and, you know, like,
don't tweet,
you know,
don't
put the phone
nothing.
Away. Like, enjoy it. You know what I mean? Enjoy your week off. And then apparently he's live tweeted the Diamondbacks game.
You know what he told me?
What's that?
Oh, I'm deleting Twitter off my phone. I'm getting all this done. Yada, yada, yada. And... yeah, that was a lie. That was a lie. He can't stay away. He cannot stay away. 650, Kobayashi got banned for testing positive.
For trees?
For weed?
Smoking a little grass?
Is performance enhancing? No way, that's not true. That's not true. Maybe this isn't true either. The Golden State Warriors being interested in Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant last week. What was that, Thursday?
Yes.
Where he hollered at the Brooklyn Nets and said, hey, I want out.
He didn't just holler at the Brooklyn Nets. He hollered at the owner.
Joe Tsai.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to trade. Yeah. I want to get traded.
Yeah, he went to the top.
He went to the top. Straight to the top. Sean Marks, Steve Nash, they all got cut out. It's straight to the top. So Mark Spears went on ESPN Radio Sunday morning and said this about the Warriors and Kevin Durant.
The one team I'm telling you guys who's keep an eye on is the Golden State Warriors. Golden State could have the best package for both parties. Jordan Poole, Jonathan Kuminga, All-Star Andrew Wiggins, and former number two pick James Wiseman. What the Nets want is they want a young All-Star and want perhaps a future All-Star. They're all under 30. They also want picks. maybe the ability to swap picks. But if you can get those four players, if I'm the Nets, I'm very, very happy. And for Kevin Durant, the Warriors, they're very familiar with, and vice versa. Like, he knows where to live in San Francisco. He knows how the offense works. He knows he can win a championship there. Yeah, he and Steve Kerr would probably have to figure some things out. But with each passing day that this carries on, I heard the Warriors have interest in terms of a young haul, in terms of people being happy on both sides. To me, the Golden State option is the best option.
By the way, 415 said that segue is a three. Mm. I'll take it. That's Mark Spears, who sounded like he was in the submarine somewhere.
Yeah, it sounded like he was doing talking through a can and then putting the phone at the end of his can, like putting the speaker there, like right at the end, and just holding the can. Yeah, like a soup can. I don't know.
So what do you make of all that? The longer this lingers, the more the Warriors are a factor?
Well, I think what I make of it is, and just looking at it and thinking of all these other teams, I think the Warriors, you know, if you're looking at any trade package, again, like we started the show with this, Bonte, and I'm going to reiterate it, and I'm going to continue to reiterate it, especially now when, you know, we got new people coming in at 657. If you are
there new people coming in?
Yeah, there's some new people here and there, you know, waking up this early, getting up on July 5th on this Tuesday, getting back to work, maybe getting there a little early.
Wednesday or Tuesday?
It's Tuesday today, Bonte. Okay, all right. It is Tuesday. Yeah. Don't bring up the days to Fleming, by the way, when he joins us at 8 o'clock. Last time I brought that up, I said, oh, is it Tuesday or Wednesday here? And then Fleming's like, because I was filling in for you at the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and Fleming
goes,
hey, Steve, if you want to do this thing full time, just make sure you get the days right.
So that's number one. Right.
But as they are rolling in, if you have the question of why would the Nets use this request and actually act on it, why would they do that? Well, because some teams are going to make offers where the Nets are going to look at that and think, damn, I can't refuse that one. You know, give them the Godfather offer that they can't refuse. They're going to do that, right? And I think the Warriors, as far as I'm concerned, and this is not to say I want them to do this, because initially, that's my initial thing, is I do not. But as far as the trade packages go, it seems like the Warriors have the best trade package compared to these other teams to give up. Like, you want to talk about an all-star starter in Andrew Wiggins, who may have gotten that just because of Bam Bam. Shout out to Bam Bam from K-Pop.
Hey, shout out to Bam Bam. I got a picture with Bam Bam.
You did?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Nice. You post it?
Did I? No, just a story.
Bam Bam's like, oh, man, it's Bonte Hill from NBC Sports Pre-Post. I watch you all the time.
I tried to tag him. He's got 15 million followers. Didn't happen. Didn't share it.
Yeah.
You know, Bam Bam's got a lot of going on.
That's all good. But as far as I'm concerned, they have the best trade package to give him. So that's why – to give them. So that's why I do believe that they're – in the talks here, I just don't think that it's going to happen.
I'm looking at all these texts coming in. 510-650-415. I want none of KD. Can't mortgage the future for a couple years of KD. Do they want to be?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.